thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. My homeboy Will T. What's good, Will T?
I'm good. I'm cool. Can't complain.
Yeah, I know I can't hear myself. We're good though. Okay, we're good.
Okay. All right.
It's good, bro. I'm the same way. Like I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the audio. I can't hear myself. We'll be good though. We're A-OK.
We're professionals.
We're professionals. We know how to make it rock. Can you hear yourself now? Can you hear yourself now?
No, still can't hear myself. But oh, it's yeah,
put,
cool,
no,
man.
put the other one on. I think the headphone shot.
Still can't hear myself.
You still can't hear yourself?
We're gonna go. We're gonna rock.
Okay, I can hear you. You sound good, man.
You hear me?
Okay, okay.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. But nah,
super producer of the show.
I don't know about all that, but first of all, happy birthday to our homie
Jeezy.
Because, you know, again, I don't know if I said it. You listen to Urban Sports. Say I'm Wally. Will T. Ray's out. But yeah, man, happy birthday, Ray. Ray's birthday. You know, he's celebrating right now. You know, he's a vegan. He doesn't drink, so he's really like, how come?
Partying it up.
I know, right? Yeah. Shots of what? What can vegans drink? Is there vegan
wheatgrass alcohol?
He's
probably taking shots of wheatgrass.
Wheatgrass, right? There's no such thing as vegan alcohol, right?
No, I don't believe there is.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome though? Vegan alcohol? Not really.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, if it's out there, with the way the society's going now, probably somebody think about it and market it and make a lot of money.
I know. Vegan alcohol, that would be real. But we'll see. How we do things?
Let's get into our tradition, the only tradition I know.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I see how you did that one. Here are our topics. The Washington Redskins' disappointing loss to the Vikings, 38-30. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Redskins' upcoming game against the New Orleans Saints. At 8:30, we'll talk about Washington Wizards shooting guard Bradley Beal's fast start. At 8:40, we'll make our Week 11 picks. At 8:50, we'll talk about the start of the college basketball season. Most importantly, the Georgetown Hoyas and the Maryland Terps. Both are starting the season undefeated. And here we go. The Washington Redskins lost to the Minnesota Vikings 38-30. My first question, they gave up 38 points. This is the worst the defense played. Is it
my
the defense's fault?
Is the game was not even close.
Oh, not really. The score doesn't
indicate
the way the game really went.
Point, what, mm-hmm. 35-14? If I'm not 35-10 or 14? If I'm not mistaken,
it was at a point in time. It was they scored 35-20. They had 20, so 35-17.
Yeah, 35-17.
Yeah. Then it got to 35-17. Yeah, 35-17. Excuse me. They scored. Yeah, 35-17 was.
Yeah,
because they were up. They were up 17-14. Yeah. So 35-17. Sorry.
Yeah. As a fan, at one point you had to be encouraged, particularly the first drive.
Of course.
Maurice Hurts coming out and making a spectacular
one-hand grab.
Maurice Harris coming out making a spectacular one-hand grab. You thought, okay, now we got a ball at wide receiver. You know, we finally have someone outside of Jamison Crowder and
Josh Dawson
who can come into this receiving core and be another viable target for Kirk Cousins. But he did play a good game, but at the same time, you were just disappointed by the play of the secondary. I won't single him out, but particularly Josh Norman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question is, Josh Norman, who's your daddy? Adam Thielen is.
Really though?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he went to work. I mean, to be honest, went to work. I can't even deny it. At first, and watching the game, it was like, okay, dude's giving Breland the business. Because he started off on Breland.
I was there.
He started off.
You were in the media capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I was covering it. But, you know, like, at first, watching the game, I was like, and I had tweeted it out, this is the first time I've ever seen Breland. The first time this season Breland has gotten worked, because Breland was getting worked by Thielen. So I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be one of those days. And then after that, you know, then Stephon Diggs went to work on Norman initially. Stephon Diggs went to work. And then it was, like you said, Adam Thielen. He went to work. And it was like, okay, this I've never seen Norman, you know, other than I will say when he went against Terrell Pryor when Pryor was in Cleveland last year. like Pryor gave Norman the business. Other than that, this is the worst I've ever seen. But this is typically that game was the worst I've ever seen Norman play as a Washington Redskin.
Well, I wasn't on last week, but one of the reasons why I believed that Minnesota would be victorious over Washington was the matchup of Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen versus Josh Norman and Breshad Breeland.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Minnesota, the way that those two guys are playing, that's definitely the top receiving duo in the NFL this year. Just the way Stephon Diggs and
Stephon Diggs
and Adam Thielen are playing. Also, I think one thing that wasn't discussed last week, but I don't know if I was able to text it in to you guys during the show, but what made Washington, what propelled Washington against Seattle is something that they wouldn't have against Minnesota. Going into Seattle, you had a us against the world mentality.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you had a lot of injuries on the offensive and defensive line.
You played, you were desperate.
You were desperate. It was an us against the world. We're on the road in a very hostile environment. Just the sense that I receive, you know, just, you know, and I'm watching the team from afar. I'm not the media like you and Ray, like you guys are. But listening to a lot of the interviews from the players and coaching staff, you would have thought that win last week was the win that
saved the season. It was the win. It should have been the win.
Everyone was proclaiming that this is the biggest win in Gruden's, you know, coaching tenure. It's the best win they've had in the last 5 or 7 years.
I agree with that.
That the players got a big head, and you lost that edge when you come, when you're at home. You lose that edge that you had going on the road, that us against the world mentality, and ultimately Minnesota came in and they handled it.
I mean, you look at like you said, Thielen, a guy that you wouldn't think typically that to pretty much, you know, put that work on Josh Norman, had about 166
yards.
I mean, and a touchdown. Eight catches.
I know because he's on my fantasy
team. Of course you would. But I agree with you, Will. Because I heard a lot of, even on the show, it was mentioned, Ray stated that, you know, they beat Seattle. So, you know, Minnesota, people thought Minnesota, all right, you beat Seattle in Seattle. Minnesota, this game is very winnable. But again, go ahead, sorry.
No, I just wanted to interject. I don't think necessarily Washington beat Seattle. I think Seattle beat themselves.
I won't say that because I think defensively they handled Seattle. The field goals, yeah, but like they still weren't scoring. They weren't making plays.
Three missed field goals and then the penalties, self-inflicted penalties killed a lot of the drives for Seattle.
But some of the holds were caused because they couldn't block some of the people that were in front of them. They couldn't block them because their offensive line isn't good.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I still, if you ask me, I think it's more, and I don't want to take anything away from what that football team accomplished on the road in Seattle in, you know, harsh conditions. But to me, just looking at the game from afar, like I said, I'm not the media like you and Ray.
I'm going to stop saying that.
I say media with air quotes.
I know. I don't know why you keep saying it. Like, no, I don't know why. I don't know what air quotes are for. I don't even get that.
I just felt that Seattle beat themselves, contributed more to more self-inflicted wounds.
I think who you have you speak to, I think you have a valid point. I feel like, I put it like this, in football, things have to go your way, right? And those missed field goals, if he makes a couple of them, we're talking about a different game. And if Earl Thomas, this is another opinion. This is one of my other opinions. If Earl Thomas plays, we're talking about a different game. You know what I mean? But again, I see your point. I'm not going to take that away from you. But I see what you're leaning to in terms of saying you're playing great football going to Minnesota. And Minnesota is probably the best team, the best defense this team was going to see. And they still scored points on them. Again, they were missing Griffin. So it wasn't like they were playing at such a high – they were playing a team that even to me were at their best. But speaking of – you mentioned Maurice Harris. He made an unbelievable one-handed catch. Looks like he's over Terrell Pryor in the depth chart. Should the Redskins give up – should the Skins give up on Terrell Pryor?
Well, if you believe the report that came out Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken, there was a report that Cleveland called and, you know, before the trade deadline and was poking around and wanted to see if Terrell Pryor was available, which I don't think necessarily would have been a bad move if Washington had decided to trade him back to Cleveland, because I think it's obvious at this point that you won't be bringing him back and signing him to a long-term contract. I don't believe you would.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could, if you were able to get something from him for him, then, you know, why wouldn't have you? But the biggest question to me is, you know, coming out and seeing Maurice Harris making that spectacular one-hand grab. He was on your roster last year, and he's been on the practice squad this year for the first 10 weeks. What took him so long to come up to the active roster?
See, I think the frustration with Terrell Pryor and the injuries and whatnot played a part. I'm on the side with the Terrell Pryor things. Like, give the dude an opportunity to make plays. I mean, we haven't even seen, to be honest with you, on that type of play since, you know, folks have said that Kirk Cousins has lost faith in Terrell Pryor. He hasn't had an opportunity to make a play, to get a ball to make a play on like that. You know, I mean, that was a playable play. Like, you have it up there, jump ball. That was a one-handed catch on the backside. Like I've always stated, when you got a guy one-on-one, right? And who cares? When this is not DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson isn't walking through the door. Pierre Garçon's not walking through those doors. You got to give him an opportunity. If it's one, it's man-to-man coverage. You know, by even playing Madden, right? Let's be as simple as that. In Madden, you see one-on-one 9 times out of 10. What are you going to do? Even in Madden, right?
Yeah, I'm going
to
put it
and
up.
You, and if say you have some crappy receivers, right? You know, you're going to still put it up there, right? Because of the chance you can come down with the football. So, like, giving a guy that opportunity, I think that with Terrell Pryor here, with Kirk, since where Terrell Pryor is with this, within this team, because I saw it in the game last week, I mean, on Sunday. When he gets man coverage, he wasn't getting that same opportunity that Kirk Cousins gave Maurice Harris.
You saw it in the game from the press box.
From the press box. You know it, bro. You know it.
Just make sure you throw that in there, man.
I ain't trying to be arrogant. I'm not arrogant.
I know you want to. Just throw it in there.
I'm not going to do it. But anyway, on Facebook, to the same question about Terrell Pryor, Roy Fleming Sr. said, too early to give up on him. In fact, his whole thing may work out to our advantage in getting a long-term deal done because he'll be on the bargaining. He'll be on the bargain. Be a bargain deal on him.
Okay,
if you wanted to,
that's understandable. I understand where he's coming from, but you know, Terrell Pryor still learned to play the position. Mm-hmm. So what would Terrell Pryor be like, the number four receiver
on this team?
On this team,
again, I think he's more talented. This is my thing. Maurice Harris is a nice story. If you watch him, he doesn't get separation as much. So I don't look at him as a guy that is going to be a guy that it's going to be a guy that's going to demand attention, right? Because I feel like even your two cornerback could check a Maurice Harris without him getting get separation. But you got Terrell Pryor, a guy who runs 4.4, who's still athletic, still a freak of nature, and like you said, still learning the wide receiver position. Give him an opportunity. That's my main thing. Like, at the end of the day, who's more talented? You dig what I'm saying? Like, who's more talented? And Terrell Pryor is the more talented wide receiver, so I think he should get an opportunity.
Well, no, you can't coach 6'5", and you can't coach 4'3", mm-hmm. or 4 speed. So yeah. I understand why, you know, fans would be encouraged and would say that they would still like to see him brought along within mm-hmm. the system and learn the wide receiver position.
My man, on Facebook, my man Larry Carter said, trade him to Cleveland, go get DeSean Jackson back.
I don't think... I mean, that's a great idea, but I don't necessarily think
that's possible.
Tampa Bay wants to let DeSean Jackson go.
Even though
DeSean Jackson hasn't produced at the level that he produced while he was in Washington, I still don't believe that Tampa Bay would easily allow him to leave.
I don't think that's DeSean's fault. I think that's somebody else's fault.
Whose fault do you believe that is?
That could be a lot. I mean, I like Jameis. I just think it's Lil Jameis' fault.
You think
it's
Jameis?
Yeah, because you got, again, you're looking at, and we're going off topic, but it's cool. You got Mike Evans, who demands a double team. DeSean Jackson, you watch the games. He is open. You know, he is open. Jameis has missed him a lot, to be honest with you. And even on some of the good games he's had, even in those games, DeSean could have had about, if the passes were accurate or Jameis was looking his way, DeSean could have like 150 on some of these games. Like, he could really tear up a secondary. But real quick, I don't know if you watched it on TV, but it just seems like over this whole season, it just seems like this team is losing home field advantage. It just seems like the opposition, the visitors own FedEx now.
Well, we're coming up on commercial break. We'll discuss this when we get back from commercial break. I actually had a question for you about that, since, you know, you were there in a media capacity.
If you keep saying that, bro, I'm going to get you. Anyway, man, you've been listening to after the break, we'll be talking about the Redskins' upcoming game against the New Orleans Saints, and we're going to talk about that home field advantage. You listen to the Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
Call it how it is. Hedges. I promise you, swag. And y'all, Hedges, I don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Yo.
When it's fatal, having hard, I can't tell. Wait. Half of y'all might need help. Wait. I might fall in Rodale. I might ball in Australia. I might call a for real. All I ask go unveil.
Wind blows in the windows, and I snuck in with a big glove. She got me like info. Know who it's info.
Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate it. I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect gotta fess up now and pay your debt.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will and Wally. Ray is out. But first, like we talked about this before we went to break. The Redskins home field advantage. Where is it at?
Well, just as a fan, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, but just an observer.
Yeah, as an observer, just watching it casually on TV Sunday. I heard, you know, Charles Davis, who was calling the game, does an excellent job calling the games. He mentioned it a few times about there was a large Minnesota Vikings contingent of fans. And I was curious to know. I was actually going to text you.
Yeah.
To see if you had the game, because I was curious to know, was there a large Minnesota Vikings contingent of fans?
Yeah, walking
and
up.
Did it seem on the second level that there were a few, not a large amount of empty seats, but a few pastures of empty seats?
No, I thought it was attended well. I thought the attendance was good, but there were a lot of Viking fans, and it's been a theme throughout the season though. Like even the Niners, who are a horrible team, had a nice little following.
Well, you know what I want to know?
Yeah,
I want to know is it A, that there are that many fans of other teams in the DMV area?
Because this is a transient area.
Mm-hmm. Or is it B, that their fans really do travel that well when it comes
I don't
to
think they
to,
like the Niners. I don't think they travel that well. I think it's because, you know, people move, like you said, people move into the area, being probably from the West Coast, and you know you have so much going on in terms of jobs, federal government jobs, and things of that sort that is available here, and you have people from all types of the U.S. All, you know, and you got people who've been fixated on some of these teams for a long time ago. Like I mentioned, the 49ers. Back in the day, they were a bunch of Niners fans, so they come back out, you know, once they see get the opportunity to see their teams. The Minnesota Vikings thing caught me off guard. Like, I just didn't think that you would see that many people that many Mills Viking fans in attendance. Even walking to the stadium, I was amazed. That's how I kind of can gauge it. Like, if I see a bunch of purple, I was like, everywhere I was going, purple, purple, purple. So I'm thinking it's not just – I don't know if it's because, you know, this team hasn't been uber successful or – because I feel like this season they've given this area some hope because they played solid football. I mean, it's not like they've been in yesteryear when they were, like, an automatic top five pick. This year, you know, they're battling 500, right? So you would think the Redskins, I'm talking about, you would think that the fans would support them a little bit more, especially coming off that big win against Seattle. But the Washington Redskins are playing the New Orleans Saints Sunday. What do the Skins have to do to win the game?
Go see one of those voodoo ladies in New Orleans, and get a curse, get a hex put on the Saints.
And people said the same thing when they played the Seattle Seahawks, man.
They did. You're correct. They did, but I think the difference between that Seattle game and this New Orleans game is, with New Orleans, you're facing a complete team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a much improved team from the defensive side of the ball. Marshawn Lattimore is definitely playing at a level that's going to get him NFL defensive player, NFL defensive rookie.
He's a cornerback, right?
Yeah, the cornerback from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And they have a two-headed running back system where Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, whereas in previous years they may have had two or three backs. And you knew that, you know, when they had Darren Sproles, you knew that they were going to run certain plays, they were going to put him in certain packages. With Marvin Ingram and Alvin Kamara, they're so interchangeable, it doesn't matter which, you know, formations or packages or plays they run, because both of these guys are so interchangeable,
mm-hmm.
and they're so good running the ball inside and outside and catching the ball out, you know, catching the ball and getting downfield, particularly in the screen game.
Mm-hmm.
Then also you couple that with, you know, how is the confidence going to be of, you know, Josh Norman and Breland the way that they were handed?
That's a good point.
Versus Minnesota. You know, are they going to be able to rebound? And we all know this. Sean Payton puts his wide receivers in the best position to, you know, to optimize that offense. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting game. I'm not calling for a blowout, but I do think that New Orleans wins this game.
I think that what the Redskins will need is that they're going to need Matt Ioannidis to get healthy, and hopefully he can play in this game. You can see a big difference in terms of them being able to stop the run when he's out. Obviously, losing Jonathan Allen was big too, but when you have Matt Ioannidis, I think he makes it better. And also, I think you got to make them one-dimensional. You got to make the New Orleans Saints one-dimensional. The first thing, I know it's funny to say this, but you got to stop the run first. Like, you got to stop the two-headed monster. You got to stop Mark Ingram and Kamara, because you should like your chances with your DBs versus their wide receivers. And I agree with you, like Will T, saying that, yeah, confidence should be shaken a little bit, but you should believe that, you know what? That was one game. In terms of the track record this season, the secondary has been lights out in terms of the cornerback play.
Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to see New Orleans play?
Yeah, I have. All right. They blitz a lot.
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. my point.
They blitz a lot.
This New Orleans defense, they're playing at a level that we haven't seen them play at since they went to the Super Bowl.
Dramatically.
You know, Darren Sharper and all those guys.
Yeah. Harper. Number 41 was Harper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're forcing a lot of turnovers, and they're forcing a lot of turnovers by applying pressure.
Yeah.
We both know that Kirk Cousins
doesn't handle blitz correctly. Doesn't handle blitzes well.
Doesn't handle blitz well.
Well, yeah.
Knowing that that's a weakness for this team,
mm-hmm.
is that a concern for you?
Yes, a concern, but that's Jay Gruden that's going to have to flip it up and do more screen passes. He's going to have to do some wide receiver screens to keep the blitzes off balance. And use the screen game with Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's deadly with the screen game, so he's going to have to take advantage of that. But there's a chance, you know, obviously, you know, we talk about Kirk Cousins. There's Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins phenomenon. There's a chance that Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins will be free agents after the season. If you were the Redskins, who would you rather sign next season into a big deal, Brees or Kirk Cousins?
Are you seriously going to ask this?
Hey, question? You know, there's people out there that would say differently.
I would go with Kirk Cousins. I mean, the long-term potential, the upside. You know, Drew Brees, even though I think that when he does,
we're talking about a big deal. We're talking about a deal that's like with a rack of a lot of money. Who would you rather spend that? You know, because Drew Brees is elite. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Drew Brees is elite. He's definitely done it with wide receivers that no one would consider on occasions. You know,
top flight,
mm-hmm. All Pro or Pro Bowl wide receivers. Some of it you have to ask is it attributed to the system? You know, because we've seen him play in San Diego. Now he did have a great season that last year. Well, he had a good season that year when he was holding off Phillip Rivers as the cornerback.
Yeah, he had a good year. He got
injured until his shoulder got in.
That's true.
Was injured. But at this point, I would feel more comfortable with Kirk. I think I would get a long-term return on my money with Kirk as opposed to Drew Brees.
On Facebook, posed the same question between Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees. Chris Brown says, easily Kirk. Drew is definitely a better quarterback, but also 9 years Kirk's senior. So realistically, you'd have only a two-year window with that big deal, whereas with Kirk being only 29, you have more time with Kirk Cousins.
I'm not going to say a better question, but another iteration of the question would be taking the team that you have now, and you had 1 year, and you had the demand that you had to win 10 games. Which quarterback would you take? Would you
1 year for 10? It'd be Drew Brees.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be Drew Brees. Drew Brees is like you said, is one with less. You know, if you feel like you want to call in and you want to chime in real quick, we only got like a couple minutes anyway. Call in, call us at 240-478-3140. Even if we leave this segment after break, feel free to call in and state who would you rather prefer, Kirk Cousins? Well, prefer to a long term deal, Kirk Cousins or Drew Brees. But yeah. If I had to make the deal, yeah, definitely Drew. I'd take Drew Brees over Kirk Cousins. And I feel like if you feel like your team is close enough to win it all with a couple of picks. And again, my thing for the Washington Redskins is that how people value Kirk Cousins. There's a guy I play inside linebacker that to me is a guy that you can't replace at this moment. Like you can't replace him on the market. And Zach Brown. There's nobody that you can replace that can replace Zach Brown that's going to be on the market. And we've seen this team without an inside linebacker, how horrific they looked that looked within stopping the run and even going with athletic quarterbacks. You talked about Russell Wilson probably not having his best game, but I know against Seattle, Zach Brown was everywhere, like hawking him down, like locating him. And instead of Russell Wilson having that 20-yard run, it was like 5 yards. So he was essential in that part. But anyway, you know a guy who's been balling and been vicious like a Zach Brown?
Bradley Beal.
You know it. Bradley Beal has been unbelievable. We'll talk about Bradley Beal's fast start of the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Will T. Ray's out. We were talking about Bradley Beal. In the early part of the season, Bradley Beal is averaging about 23 points. The man is looking like an elite shooting guard. What improvements has he brought to his game for him to play at this level?
creating off of the dribble.
I know, right? I'm with you. Like,
it's night and day to me, at mm-hmm. least seeing his progression from his rookie year to where he's at now this year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully an all-star. Creating shots for himself and his teammates off of the dribble. And, you know, giving a far more consistent level of defense mm-hmm. throughout from the tip until the final whistle. Those are the two things that I've seen him improve at.
For me, like you said, I just think
free throw shooting. His free throw shooting.
It still could be better though. I think it could be a lot better. It could be better.
And I don't know. I'll check mm-hmm. to see exactly what his free throw percentage is, but I feel as if his free throw percentage is better this year than it has been previous years.
I mean, because he's such a good shooter, you look at him as a guy that should be shooting like 85%. Truth be told, he should be shooting 85% from the free throw line. That's how talented like he is as a shooter. But like you said, Will T, what I like about Bradley Beal is that he's going to the basket. He's creating off the dribble, going to the basket. Like, I've never seen him do this before. Like, even last season where he would go to the hole and be relentless. But here it's like now he's finishing easily at the basket. I didn't see it. He's shooting 82%. He's shooting 82%. His career is like 79. But 82% from the free throw line, I feel like he should be better than that. He's such a knockdown shooter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's shooting a little bit better than he has.
Yeah, a little bit better historically. He's 79 is his career.
Yeah, but like you said, I think Bradley Beal just, you know, because he's such a prolific three-point shooter, yeah. You think he's a guy that was shooting 90%.
Yeah, like you see, like not to call him like he should be like Steph, but like somewhere like Klay Thompson. Like Klay Thompson is like 87, 88, like around there.
Yeah, but I mean, because historically when you see guys that are great three-point shooters,
yeah, exactly.
You think that they're, you know, elite free throw shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I look, but like you said though, I feel like him going to the basket, it's not that he's just going to the basket and getting by his defender. He's finishing better. Like, you know, he's finishing better. He just looks like, you know what? Like, and this is what I also wanted to add. You pay cats the money. You pay cats a large sum of money after, you know, on their free agency year, and you just hope that, you know, they play at the high level or they play at the level they were playing. But, you know, I like to see people like Otto Porter and Bradley Beal. Like, they've improved on their game. Like, it's not like they've been content. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? I got paid. I'm good. I can still drop 20. 20's still cool. But it's like Bradley Beal, like, looking at him, he wants to be elite. And I see a guy that's like, initially when I looked at Bradley Beal, I wasn't like, this kid's going to be elite. Now when I look at him, I'm like, you know what? Bradley Beal could be an elite two guard. He could be just as good as how people talk about Klay Thompson to be, or even DeRozan in Toronto. He could be at that level because, you know, there's games this season when John Wall hasn't brought it. And I think Bradley Beal's brought it and he's carried this team on stretches for a stretch run. Arguably, you could say he's outplayed John Wall on this team.
Yeah, I don't think that's too far of a stretch for you to say that Bradley Beal this year has been their best player. Do we need more consistent, you know, I think throughout for the whole unit, you need stronger defensive play. Because being realistic, like I was thinking about it today before the show,
mm-hmm.
and the Wizards are 8-5, if I'm not mistaken. And if you think about it, those five losses, there's only one loss that you can really look back and say
it's a bad loss.
That they were totally outplayed, and that's against Cleveland. You know, when they lost to the Lakers, they were up against the Lakers. Golden State, they were up by 7, but I believe it was 17 at one point.
I would say Dallas outplayed them, surprisingly. Which they shouldn't have, though.
They're superior. Yeah. They're a better team than Dallas. And, you know, the Phoenix Suns, when they lost to the Phoenix Suns, they're a better team than the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
And they lost that game. So, four out of their five losses, I think there was only one loss where you can really look back and say that they were totally outplayed. But the other four, they either were in the game or they were a better team, and just that lack of consistency and that desire to go and get it from the tip is which ultimately did this team in. And I'm glad that they're starting to be a little bit more reserved and stop talking about it and just
they need to stop talking about it. They just play basketball. They need to stop talking. Like, they do a lot. They do too much talking. But anyway, like I mentioned before, and I said it a little, I just want to get your opinion. Has Bradley Beal been the best Wizard on the court this season?
Absolutely. By far.
Wow. So better than John Wall.
Yeah, I think you know, John Wall has had a couple of games, a couple of off games, you mm-hmm. know, where his shot wasn't falling from the outside, or he was coming down and, you know, forcing a lot of passes and creating turnovers that were to the detriment of his team. Bradley Beal's play has been consistent on the offense and defensive side of the ball, and hopefully this year he is an all-star.
We have the same question up on our Facebook page and Twitter page. Has Bradley Beal been better than John Wall so far? Make sure you tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, or, you know, on our Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you want to call about this, you know, about that question, you have a response to it, call us at 240-478-3140. But yeah, I agree. I think Bradley Beal has outplayed John Wall, and I would never think that, you know, that would be possible. I look at John Wall as one of the best point guards in basketball. I actually think he's the best pure point guard in basketball right now. Just my opinion. I've really been a fan of John Wall last couple of seasons in terms of how he's dissected.
What's a pure point guard?
I mean, a guy I feel like who's setting everybody up, and not a guy who's just dribbling the ball just to dribble it. A guy who's truly set, who has a plan, who has a true plan about, okay, when I drive, you know, I see Gortat flashing, I'm gonna make sure I get it. I'm gonna drive to this spot because I know I'm gonna get Otto Porter on the wing. I look at the exact science. The only guys that I'll say that I feel like that play the point guard position at that level right now, who we deem as elite point guards, I won't name Ricky Rubio because he's a guy, but I'm not gonna put him in that category, is Chris Paul when healthy. I believe Chris Paul's that guy because he's a scientist. He's a mad scientist as a point guard. And honestly, to be real with you, watching and studying him, James Harden. James Harden's that guy. He has a plan. Like, he has a plan. It's not a last-minute job. It's like he has a plan when he's going to the basket, and you can see it.
I mean, I could sit and debate with you about this topic a little bit more if we – but I think a guy that you are leaving out of discussion, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard's a scorer. You don't set nobody up.
Damian Lillard does set guys
up. Do you see the shots? He's not about. He's a. I love Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard is not the best point guard. I think Damian Lillard is one of the best players in basketball. I don't even put it as a point guard. He's one of the best players in basketball. But
not Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving's learning to me set people up, but still at times you see him over dribbling. Like, Kyrie wants to show off rather at times, not all the time, but at times rather than, you know, playing the point guard position. You know, he'll just try to give you a Harlem Globetrotters type of show at times. So I think, to me, John Wall, even with his patent, his athletic ability, he understands the point guard position better than most point guards in the league right now. Just my opinion. Again, I could be wrong, though. I'm not going to say I know everything. I kind of feel like I do know everything, though.
Now the
truth always comes out. You're right. I know me. I know my truth. Anyway, we'll make our week 11 NFL picks after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Got loyalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your arm was probably switched inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, DNA.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T. Raise Out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Comments always good. I love comments. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T. went 12-2.
don't say it like that.
My bad, bro.
Don't say it like
know
that.
What? Let me change up. Let me change up.
Be more excited.
Up. My man Will T went 12-2. All right. Ray went 8-6. I went 9-5 in comparison. The Football Garbage Times, Joanne went 7-7. Hakun Wong went 10-4. Ryan and Scott went 11-3.
To all you guys, I just say step your game up.
All right, with our individual battle, here are our records. Will T is 87-59. Ray is 82-64. I'm 78-68 last place.
I mean, that's not bad.
What?
78-60.
It's not good, man.
No, I mean,
it could be better, man. Real people do real things.
It could be a lot better. It could be 87-59 better.
This dude here, man.
Nonetheless.
Hey, don't worry about it.
I'm reviewing Ray's.
I'm looking at Ray's picks. I'm going to do Ray's picks last.
I think he left out one game.
You think so? 1, 2.
Steelers versus Titans.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You're right. He did leave out a game. Oh, well. That means he loses that game.
You lost that
game. Lost that game. You know the rules.
Yep.
All right. Here you go. Titans versus Steelers.
I'm going with the Steelers.
I'm going with the Steelers as well. Lions and Bears.
Tigers. Oh, my.
And you know it, right?
I'm going with the Lions.
I'm going Lions as well. Jaguars versus the Browns.
Come on now.
I know, right? Both got Jaguars. Ravens versus the Packers in Green Bay.
This is an interesting game.
Ain't it, though? Because two quarterbacks who can't really light it up at the moment.
Yeah, Huntley has some, I believe he has a rib injury. Or he has some.
Did, oh, you got hurt that game? He's questionable?
Yeah, okay. He's questionable. But the Ravens are a 2-point favorite on the road. That lets me know that Vegas wants people to vote. Vegas wants people to bet the Ravens, but I'm going to go with the Packers.
That's why I want to pick the Packers, though.
Go ahead and pick them, man.
I want to go against you, though. Well, I need to catch up.
I mean, don't do anything out of desperation. Do it because you believe it.
That's true. Give me the Packers. Because I want Brett Hundley to succeed. I want him to start and succeed.
Maybe we go different on these next two.
I don't think we will. Cardinals versus Texans.
I'm going with Texans.
Really? I'm going with the Cardinals. I'm going to Cardinals on this one.
I told you.
All right. Buccaneers versus the Dolphins in Miami. Well, they're both the same thing. Florida, I don't care.
The Dolphins. They're did you horrible. Watch any
yeah,
of that
I
game?
Did. It's horrible.
They totally gave up.
Yeah, but I like Drake, though. I do like Drake. I liked him in Alabama, though. I do like him.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't trust him either.
But I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I'm probably going to regret it, but I'm going to go with the Dolphins because that team looks like they gave up on
they
season.
Both look bad. I'm going to go with the Bucks because I just think the Bucks have more talent. They just aren't producing. Rams versus the Vikings.
This is the game of the week.
This is the game. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And this is going to be a tough one for me. Vikings at home, they're a 2-point favorite. What I notice in Vegas, the home team's usually a 3-point favorite.
I know, right? So they don't even believe.
So they don't really believe in the Vikings.
They don't.
They want you to vet the Vikings, but they don't really believe in the Vikings. I'm going with the Rams on the road.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Rams too. I think the Rams' offense is potent. Gurley is versatile, and their defense has been balling too.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about the Vikings' defense. The Rams' defense has talent too. I think that kind of will play in this game. Especially, I don't believe in Case Keenum. I don't care what he did against the Redskins. I don't believe in Case Keenum. I don't. Rams versus the Vikings. I'm sorry. Chiefs versus the Giants. Sorry.
Put Ben McAdoo out of his misery.
Yeah,
please. Get him off the television with the slick back.
I know. Right? Yeah, I'm like, what's that about?
What the hell is that?
Like, is he trying to be like cuz off the, what's that, American Psycho? Is he trying to be Christian Bale or something?
I don't know what he's doing with that slick
back. He's like a creep, man. Like he on some porno, man. He got a little mustache.
He does look like
back.
An 80s porno star.
Wrong with this dude, man?
I don't know, man. But, you know, Giants, you know, management put the fan base, put yourself out of misery. Get rid of
McAdoo. Okay,
I'm going with the Chiefs by a blowout, and I think this is the game where they say McAdoo, get out.
Yeah, I'm with the Chiefs. And I think Eli doesn't start after this game. I think something's gonna happen. Redskins versus the Saints. You picked the Saints already.
I'm going with the Saints.
I'm going to go with the. No, why not? Go to Redskins. Why not? Bills versus the Chargers.
Bills have to go across the country to the West Coast. Give me the Chargers.
Give me the Chargers as well. Bengals versus the Broncos.
Both of these teams look.
But the Broncos always know how to lose games. I swear. Like, yeah. They look okay. They look bad against Jacksonville, but they know how to lose games. I'm sorry, not Jacksonville. Who they play? I'm sorry, not Jacksonville. Chargers lost to Jacksonville. Who did they play last week? Because they were actually up, and they just lost the game. The Titans. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Titans. They had that game, and they just lost that, too.
Bengals have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But the Broncos, they look
horrible. This is why I'm with Cap with collusion. Because, I mean, like, Oswald is your quarterback. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like
since Oswald is your quarterback, is. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals, too. Patriots versus the Raiders.
In Mexico. This is a neutral field, but I'm still going with the Patriots.
I'm going with the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
All right. Eagles versus the Cowboys in Dallas. No Zeke, supposedly.
Zeke. Sunday night. No, there won't be Ezekiel at all.
Yeah, I like to make sure. I like to say that because you never know. I said that a couple weeks ago and he played. So I'm just going to say supposedly when it comes to Zeke.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No Zeke. No chance. Give me the Eagles.
Give me the Eagles as well. Falcons versus Seahawks.
This is going to be another good game mm-hmm. because no Richard Sherman for the Seahawks.
I know.
I don't.
That hurts that season.
Earl Thomas is going to be available either.
They signed Maxwell, who sucks.
Yeah, they signed Maxwell. But they still have a front seven that can get to the quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Atlanta needs this game.
Atlanta has to fly to Seattle.
They have to fly to Seattle. Seattle needs this game.
On a Monday night.
You know what? I'm going to go with Atlanta. I just think Julio Jones gets an opportunity to eat. I'm going to go with Atlanta. So, here's Ray's picks. Detroit, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Arizona, Tampa, Minnesota, Kansas City, New Orleans, San Diego, Cincy, Oakland, Dallas, and Atlanta. Ray automatically loses out, though, because...
I mean, if you were listening,
that
Ray,
one. He lost that one,
you,
man.
You could text in, but you're not supporting the show on your day off.
it's his birthday. That's why.
So
it's his birthday. He's not going to. You know, I mean let the man. He knows. Happy birthday, Ray. That's support, Ray. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ray. And
we appreciate that one loss.
You know, I do. I was hoping he wouldn't do any of them. To be honest with you. Who likes being last, man? Shoot, I'm trying to get out the basement, man.
I understand.
That sounds cool. I'm trying to get out the basement, like figuratively.
Shut up.
On that note, anyway, Patrick Ewing is truly officially back as the Georgetown Hoyas coach. We'll talk about Hoyas basketball and Terps basketball after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, to a worker. I make bloody moves. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at. You know where I be. You in the club, just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these. Don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say goals. Bitch, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill on some babes. I might just chill with your boo. I might just spill on your babe. My f*** feel like a lake. He wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent in the new wave. When I go back to the horse, I got the
trunk. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally. Will T. Ray. Jeezy is out. Hoyas paranoia, baby. Patrick Ewing's in the house. It's back, man. Be excited. The Georgetown Hoyas defeated Jacksonville 73-57. And Patrick Ewing's first game as the head coach of Georgetown basketball. Do you expect big things for Patrick Ewing this season?
I expect a team that is intense on the defensive side of the ball. I expect a team that's going to get the ball out of the hoop and run the floor. I'm kind of tabling my expectations as far as from a win-loss perspective. I'm pretty sure this team will go 500 or better.
Yeah, I just think that I think certain players are going to definitely, you know, will play better with Patrick Ewing compared to, you know, having Thompson as the head coach from last season. No, not a knock on him, just that what he's going to bring to the table in terms of being a big man. Because I think Georgetown, to me, has some talented big men that John Thompson recruited and did a good job recruiting, to be honest with you. You have the kid from Bowie and Marcus Derrickson, who's a junior, against Jackson. We scored 20 points, and he's a guy who can shoot from the outside. Went 4-for-7 from three. You have Jesse Govan, who I'm really high on, plays center for the Hoyas from New York City. And he scored 20, had like 15 rebounds, 4 block shots. I think he's a guy that Patrick Ewing could take advantage of. So I think in year one, you're going to see some progression for some of these guys that John Thompson recruited. And I've always stated, even, you know, before when people knocked the talent in Georgetown, I said Thompson did a great job recruiting in terms of getting local talent, guys who may not be 5-star recruits, but guys who can really ball. Like, you know what I mean? You look at it and you can say, you know what? You are a hooper. It's almost like what you see with Tom Izzo in Michigan State. A lot of times, Tom Izzo doesn't get the guy that everybody wants, right? Every once in a while, he'll give you like one or two.
Yeah, he'll get but like Miles Bridges,
and you know what I mean? But he'll get guys in Michigan that's located in Michigan that people aren't high recruits, but that put up numbers and who can play the game of basketball. And that's what I think Thompson did in the past. And I think Patrick Ewing, what he can do with this team is that he can take this team to a tournament. I believe that this team has the talent to be a tournament team with Patrick Ewing.
Like I said, as someone that –
I'm a Hoyer fan.
I don't want to – I want to table my expectations until I see what we really have. Not to say that I don't believe that Patrick Ewing is a damn good coach, because he is. He's grinded for what, 13
years? Oh my God. A true assistant head coach. I mean, he's paid his dues.
Yeah, he's paid his dues. I can't recall a top 50 player that has had to work as hard to get to this point.
Amazing, right?
You know, but as a Georgetown fan, I'm lowering my expectations with the hope, you know, I'm setting the bar low. I'm hoping for a 500 team this year. But if this team can get to the, you know, to the big dance,
that's successful.
Yeah, that's a success for me. And then, you know, you build on that by further strengthening your bonds in the D.C. area with your recruiting bonds, and you bring in some more. You know, you keep bringing in some of the top players. I don't know why, if I'm a guy that if I'm a big, I wouldn't want to come to Georgetown and learn from Patrick Ewing. I don't, not just a big, but any player. Why wouldn't I want to come to Georgetown and learn from Patrick Ewing, a guy who's been a top 50 great player of all time, and then a guy who's coached as a assistant coach in the NBA level, and has worked, and you've seen his work with some of the players he's coached, like particularly Dwight Howard when Dwight Howard was in Orlando.
And to be honest with you, you know, he has a great bargaining chip and a recruiting chip when you can bring people like, you know, I may not like the guy, I may not be a big fan, but you can bring people like Michael Jordan, who was at the game in the locker room with the Hoyas. You had Jeff Van Gundy at the game. You had Alonzo Mourning was there. Dikembe Mutombo. You have, you know, guys who backed Patrick Ewing. A lot of guys were there. So he has a good recruiting chip.
Scott Brooks was there.
Yeah, watching the game. So he has a good recruiting chip, you know, being Patrick Ewing. On Twitter, we tweeted, you know, what can you expect from Patrick Ewing in year one? At Taj Wilson 414 said, honestly, my views have changed somewhat. At first, I didn't like the hire, but now I can admit that I might be wrong. I'm feeling the buzz and excitement.
I was the first.
I was the first who was campaigning this.
Who campaigned for Patrick Ewing? I'll give you that.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I mean, I think that the excitement is there. And, you know, what I like about Patrick Ewing, he doesn't do what like Coach Thompson did in the past, which, you know, a lot of people tend to like, where, you know, you kind of stack in the beginning of the season, you put in that tough non-conference schedule. Patrick Ewing got a soft non-conference schedule off the bat.
Big John.
Yeah, Big John did the same thing. Yeah. You know who he has next, right?
Who?
UMBS.
Wow.
University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. My alma mater.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be.
It's in Verizon.
Yeah,
oh, but now I'm at Capital One. It's at Capital One Arena. So, yeah, he's not dumb. He knows what he's doing. But anyway, a team that beat the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, in their last game, the Maryland Terps have started off the season 2-0. What should we expect from Maryland without Melo Trimble?
Expect uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he wasn't selected as high as he hoped to be in the draft,
he didn't get drafted at all.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, he didn't get drafted at all.
He's a drafted free agent. Don't worry about it.
Melo Trimble, he was a common influence. He was a steady hand for this team. You know, he was here for 3 years. Probably should have left after his freshman year to maximize his earning potential and his draft status. But he was a very common influence, a leader of this team. Mm-hmm. Mark Turgeon has done a good job of, you know, reloading this team for, and so they'll be competitive this year going into going into the Big Ten.
Yeah, I know, right? That you hate that?
Yeah.
Me too.
But I don't expect the Big Ten to be world beaters.
Yeah, me either.
Other than Michigan State, you know, it seems as if I'd be stretching it. I was going to say Purdue, but no, I don't even think Purdue's going
to. Michigan maybe,
but you know, when you think about it,
Michigan State's like the power team. Bridges decided to come back and makes them the best team in that conference,
and one of the top, you know, obviously by that number two ranking to start the season off, one of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah. And we know Izzo gets better.
Yeah, Izzo, his teams get better as we get closer to March and into April. I can't think of any team that's, you know, a huge threat outside of Michigan State. So I'll say, why not? Why can't Maryland surprise a couple of people and make a run in the Big Ten?
This is actually going to be on Twitter. I posed it. What would life be without Melo? At Joe Serp said they're better off without him. Instead of deferring to Melo all game, Huter and Jackson can play their game. Cowan was great against the University of Maryland Eastern Shore on Sunday. Against the Shore, though.
I'll preface that with, it's Maryland Eastern Shore.
I know. MEAC.
Yeah. They were good against Maryland Eastern Shore for a reason.
I'm just saying, man. I mean, you know.
I know it's your alma mater.
I know it hurts, though, man. You know, MEAC teams don't do well. But I think that, you know, I like the kid, you know, Fernando. The young kid, he was, you know, he's one of the better freshmen in basketball. I mean, in the Big Ten. So I think, you know, a guy who's 6'10", can you know, run the, you know, stretch the court a little bit. I think that's it's gonna be predicated on what he's gonna do for the Terps. I think the Terps, again, like you said, I think the Terps will be a team that's gonna make the tournament. Their backcourt will be efficient. When we're talking about Cowens and Huter, so those are two guys I feel like will lead this team to a NCAA run. Not a big run, but a nice. They're a team to me. I still like. I think they're a team that can get to the first round, losing the first round.
Maryland?
But they'll get to the tournament though.
Yeah.
They'll get to the tournament. I think Turton's a good enough coach to get to the tournament.
I think Mark Turton's a good coach.
No, he's a good coach.
He'll get them to the tournament.
He's a good coach. He recruits well, too. He recruits well.
He does.
I know. But I think life without Melo, I do agree. They're going to miss that leadership. You're always going to miss a guy that you had to rely on. I don't care.
I mean, also, you know, Melo Trimble made a number of clutch shots for this team.
Yeah.
You know, down the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were deficient, when, you know, they were trying to create offense and didn't have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. They couldn't run their sets. So Melo Trimble's a guy that creates offense for you.
Agreed. But anyway, it's time to shut this show down, man. It's a great show, right, Will T?
Absolutely, man.
You know what I mean? It's always a pleasure. But you know what? Thank you for listening to us. You have something you want to say?
Yeah, I want to say Friday is the end of an era. 18 years, Mike and Mike, they're going off of ESPN.
Good for them. No, I don't care for – I don't – like Greenberg annoys me. But I mean, Mike.
You know, for them to do what they did for 18 years.
I agree.
You know, I know they'll probably never hear this, but I just want to say congratulations on your 18 years.
They will
hear this. You guys are two guys that somewhat on some level inspired us to do what we're doing today.
That's true. That's real talk. And also, happy birthday, Ray. You know, I hope you're enjoying it. But anyway,
we won't be here next week, so happy turkey day to everyone.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, you've been listening to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.